As Jack's lifeless body slips peacefully into the frigid water after the Titanic sinks, leaving Rose to live a life without the half of him that made her whole, we feel Rose's love for Jack penetrate those icy waters. Somehow we feel assured that, although he is gone, that does not mean their love has ended. This grave-penetrating love is what we find in Catullus's poem 96. Catullus writes this poem for his friend Calwus, who has just lost his beloved Quintilia and is struggling to feel whole again without her. Although the relationship between Calwus and Quintilia is unclear, as some scholars believe Quintilia was his wife, while others believe that she was his mistress, Catullus's words of comfort for his friend give us a small glimpse into the love that both Calwus and Quintilia shared, and Catullus and Calwus shared. Like Catullus, Calwus was a poet and was one of Catullus's dear friends. In fact, poems 14 and 53 are addressed to Calwus. In 14, Catullus jokes about how bad Calwus's poetry is, and in 53, about how short his stature is, comparing Calwus to a mouse. Thus, the relationship between these two great poets was not just that of colleagues, but more like that of brothers. This, then, makes the love and consolation that Catullus pours onto Calwus that much more touching. Poem 96 not only conveys the loss that Calwus feels, but also the loss that Catullus feels as his friend. We see this same beautiful, raw emotion concerning death in Catullus's poem 101. In this poem, Catullus laments the death of his own brother, distraught by how prematurely he has passed, and devastated because he feels as though a part of him has been stolen by fate. Thus, this poem runs very parallel to poem 96, and shows us that while Catullus could be raunchy and erotic and funny, he also had a much more sensitive side, and furthermore, showed what a true friend he was to Calwus. Another beautiful aspect of poem 96 is the care in which each word is placed. As you read across each line, certain words are framed by others in the line to give them a greater impact. In line 4, for example, Misas and Amakitias frame Flamus, as it is the heart of the idea of that line. Tanto and Dolori do the same thing to Mors Immatura in line 5, by framing the most important idea, that her death was premature. The beauty continues in the poem's story arc. It begins with sadness and silence in mutis and sepulchris, and transforms throughout the poem to emotions of love and coping, and ends with joy and inner emotional rest with Quintilia quantum gaudet amore tuo. However, it is interesting that Catullus says that, quote, she rejoices in his love, because the Roman perception of the afterlife was that there was no joy, simply existence. Thus, to propose that Quintilia would be rejoicing in his love is unusual. The Romans also believed in manes, which were the spirits of the dead that existed together in a crowd in hell. Thus, it makes sense that Calwus would try to address her in this poem and ask for forgiveness for the wrongs he did her in life, because he and his culture believed that she could receive this repentance even in the afterlife. Calwus, if anything pleasing or acceptable is able to reach the silent tombs from our grief, by which longing we renew old loves, and we weep for the friendships long departed. Certainly, her premature death is not a source of such grief for Quintilia, as much as she rejoices in your love. Si quicquam mutis grata ceptumque sepulchris accidera nostro, Calwe, dolore potest. Quo desiderio veteres renovamus amores at quolim misas flamus amicitias. Certe, non tanto mors immatura dolorest Quintiliae, quantum gaudet amore tuo.